station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger.
Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger.
It's 100 degrees and you're outside running. For you, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger, hitting triple digits means showing off your six-pack abs and your room temperature IQ.
A heat stroke of genius.
5K, 10K, DOA.
End up like Jim Fix, yeah.
So the next time you're sitting in your air-conditioned car and see a man scamper along sizzling in the sun wearing sweat-soaked shorts, pay homage to this muggy day marathoner, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger, a real American hero.
Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger.
You know, it's not the heat, it's the stupidity.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday, July 13th.
Hello.
Back in the studio live. Is that all the energy you can muster up for this morning?
No, it's good. I'm happy, man. I'm excited, girl. It's
why is
beautiful
that?
Outside. It looks so blue. There's not a cloud in the sky.
There's no weather like in Southern California,
man,
let me tell you.
Days like this are just amazing.
Yeah. It is going to get pretty hot, though, you know?
You know, what does that mean for L.A.? That means like 80-something, 90.
Yeah, that's pretty
just,
hot.
It is, but I just got back from Texas, and it takes it to a different level.
Yeah, I suppose so,
and
huh?
Then you leave. I mean, Israel is the same like here, right? So it's pretty mild weather.
No, it does get hot, and it's pretty humid there.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I was sweating the whole time I was there. And here, you don't really sweat that much.
No, I mean, I went running for like 10 minutes in Houston. And I mean, literally a 10-minute, if I could just get running for 10 minutes consecutively, mm-hmm. my workout was done.
Really?
Because I was, my face was beet red. Mm-hmm. My head was hot.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is really hot. This is hard.
Yeah.
Whereas I could run an hour out here and I wouldn't even look as hot as I did in 10 minutes. Now.
Right.
That says something. I think your workouts are, it's like they take more out of you, so you could probably do less there.
Yeah. That's why everybody moves here. You know, it's ideal weather.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good. So good. Sorry to brag,
it is
guys.
Good,
but
yeah.
If you lived here, you'd understand.
I suppose you
you'd
would.
You'd be clicking
huh?
your little heels and you'd be like,
I think
ooh.
People know that. That we have great weather.
Yeah, they do. But I mean, if they lived in it, they wouldn't shut up about it either.
Yeah.
Because they're probably like, we don't care, okay? We're in freaking Idaho.
Yeah.
But I don't know what Idaho's like right now, but.
Yeah, well, I don't know either.
I don't know.
No desire
Idaho,
to go to
Idaho.
Idaho.
Yeah, well, there's potatoes.
Yeah.
Potatoes are good once in a while.
Yeah.
Scallop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Yankees owner, George Steinbrenner, is dead at 80. And I guess it's big news. I'm not really into baseball at all, but, you know, he's been around forever. So,
He was the owner?
Yeah, he was the owner. And
did he will over the Yankees to somebody, or did somebody have to buy it, or how's it work?
No, he's the owner of it.
Yeah, well, then now who owns it?
Oh, his estate, I'm sure.
And then what happens, though?
I don't know. They might sell it. They might keep it as it
Who's
is.
Who's they, though?
Know?
The family?
The family.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I was asking. So the family has...
The estate,
okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this guy's has really won quite a bit of games, quite a few. So,
well, they're like,
but I don't know anything about him. I just thought people would like to know.
We're both like, yeah, by the way, this guy, he owned something big. We're not really.
Yeah, we don't really know, but
hey,
we know that.
You know, it's whatever. So,
yeah.
That is not cool, though.
Yeah. So, I saw you went out last night. There was a picture posted.
Yeah, I did. Did you see my flower?
Yeah, your flower was still on in one piece.
It was cute, huh? Was it cute? Yeah, we went out to see a friend of mine play. She's a jazz singer. She's so great. She looks the part. She sounds amazing. And you know, it's so good to go support your friends that are doing things that you actually like. Because this town's crazy. Everybody's got a movie or a rock and roll gig or a comedy gig or something, and they're like, come see me, come see me. And I'm one of those people that's like, come see me.
Go to see him.
But you it can get expensive because, you know, you're constantly going out to these places, the cover, the drinks, all that stuff. And then a lot of them, I'm going to say people would argue that this is a higher number than I'm going to give you, but I would say about half, if not more, you don't really like their art.
Really,
you like them. Yeah. You like them, but you're not really that jazzed about their
work. Yeah, but, and then you have to tell them how great it is and everything.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, I'm just not really that into it. But she's somebody that you're like, oh, I really want to go hear some really great jazz, and it's great standards that you know, and it's... she's with the Martini Kings, which is a great band, and they actually got me on stage and got me dancing with them and stuff last night.
Oh, really?
Fun.
That's cool.
Yeah. The bass dude, or the guy who was running the thing, he was like, come on up here and dance. I was like, okay, you don't have to tell me twice.
Yeah.
Why, were you dancing in your seat? What was that?
Were you dancing in your seat or something?
No, we were about to leave. We were dancing like kind of in the aisles. And
I
had a really cute ruffly skirt on again. Okay.
Again, huh?
Uh-huh. And I was just dancing. He was like, come on stage and dance. I was like, well, you know.
Yeah, don't ask me twice.
You have to ask me twice. If you spot it, you got it. It takes one to know one, you know, as far as stardom goes. So I got on stage. It's my friend Kate's gig, and I'm just dancing crazy by the guy. And he's like, you smell really good. I was like, oh.
Really? Is that what he told you?
Yeah, he did. Well, you know, that's how dudes are. But no, he's an older guy, but.
How dudes are.
Yeah. But no, it was a lot of fun. It was really fun. But she's just.
I mean, why wouldn't you take it as a compliment?
Oh, I did.
You did?
Yeah, he said I smell good. Good. I'm glad to know that the deodorant and perfume's working out.
I see. Okay.
And that the bathing is, you know.
I thought you were offended or something because you said that's what guys do.
No, they like women. They take women in. They're like,
they do like women.
You know, I thought I was just going to get there and dance. I didn't know I was going to get smell profiled. I didn't know he was going to, woman.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happened. But it was fun. It was really good. What's really fun is I went out with a couple friends, and one of my friends, she just hasn't been doing the girly dress-up thing. And you guys, for those of you guys that don't know, which would be everybody, I used to be a makeup artist, and I just always grew up, you know, I was bored. So I'd look at magazines, and I'd practice makeup on myself. And then I had other friends in the neighborhood that I would do their makeup and hair, and then I'd make them go wash their face, and I'd do it again. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had jack to do.
Yeah.
So I was like, it'd be hot and sweltering in Texas, and I'd be like, okay, next. And it was just very creative and fun for me, and it was more because there was nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got into high school, and then we started having dances. I would do a lot of my friends' hair and makeup for dances, mm-hmm. And so on and so on. And I've done, like, photo shoots and TV and film and things like that. But the reality is that it's a really great tool to use, obviously, if you're in entertainment, because you can really transform into many different looks. But it's also a great way to bless people. Like, a lot of girls, they don't know how to really do it, or they don't know how to bring that side out. And once somebody can see what they can look like, they start to act a little differently. They start to feel a little bit more like...
More confident,
Yeah, more confident. And it's not about being self-loving and so, like, narcissistic, but sometimes... I heard a lady at a church I went to, she said this, because she had, like, a beauty ministry. And she said, sometimes women can't get past the outside to see the inside. And I think that's an interesting point. When somebody doesn't feel good about what they look like or how they're perceived, sometimes it's hard for them to feel differently and to act differently and to believe that they are worth X, Y, and Z.
Right.
So believe it or not, I just have such a fun time taking somebody and like putting fake lashes on them and curling
right.
their hair.
Right. You should probably make a business out of it. You know, do makeovers on people.
Well, I've done stuff like that, but the reality is it's another line of work that you have to work to get work. And
right.
I really only want to spend that energy on my career field. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of these things where you could be hunting down work. And I've had friends that have transitioned into that line of work that were, you know, in the entertainment industry, and they've gone into that, and they've given up on their dreams. But
yeah,
it's just not something I want to do as a dream. There's a lot of things I'm good at, but being great at some things is really what you want to go for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to kind of narrow your focus.
Yeah.
So, but it's a good school, it's a good skill to have, just to like lavish somebody and make them feel special. So I did that with a couple friends last night, and they just felt so good. And I mean, this sounds very estrogen to a lot of guys right now, but it does. It makes women feel really good.
Yeah. You see, if I were you, I would just go to walk up to people and tell them, you know, would you like me to do a makeover for you? And then they'd fucking slap you in the face. Why? You don't think I look good?
Oh, I would be pissed. If somebody did that to me, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
They have shows like that. They had shows on TV like that. They're like, hey, what are you doing today? Hey, this camera crew. How about we give you a makeover? Hey, and we'll have you meet your husband tonight.
Some people could use a makeover, and they would probably look better, you know?
Yeah. I think that's true.
Some people are hopeless.
I don't think anybody's hopeless.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Like who? Name somebody.
Well, no, I don't have any names. I'm just, you know, when I see people on the street and stuff, you just go, even with a makeover, they wouldn't look good.
Really?
You know? Yeah. Which is unfortunate.
No,
know,
I don't agree, because I think
everybody's
even
beautiful.
They may not turn into like a raving beauty, but they can actually still transform. And
yeah, everybody can look better.
Could
for
look
sure.
better is what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying you're going to do unrealistic things. I mean, if there's weight involved or if there's, you know, cosmetic issues involved, or, you know, you're not going to change somebody's yeah. teeth. But
yeah, but some people don't know how to dress, for example, you
yeah.
know, and, you
yeah.
know, they could use some help.
It's just so much fun. I just love doing it for people. I don't like doing it as a job. It's different. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely fun when you have somebody that's just not feeling cute and you're like, oh, really? Let me get a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get my hands on you, girl. Come over here. Boom. I mean, I shampooed. I conditioned. I did foundation. I did concealer. I did, you know, I did all the works.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. And then they walk differently, too. They stand up a little. They start perking up a little bit. They ruffle their feathers.
Right.
And they feel cute.
Now, does it say something about women that they have to put makeup on to look good and men don't?
What do you mean? Like, where?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they don't feel they're as pretty without makeup.
Well, if you
men are okay with it.
Okay. Well, I think the thing is that there's all different types of people out there. And some people have natural features, like they have naturally dark lashes. Some people have natural bone structure that kind of gives them definition around their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, for example, blondes, like, I don't have any eyelashes. They're all blonde. My eyebrows mm-hmm. are blonde.
Right.
And it's kind of cute when you're a kid, but when you want to look sexy, you look like a fetus.
Really?
Not really a fetus. You just don't look like...
Like hairless or something?
No, you don't have any definition. So mm-hmm. you might have really pretty eyes, like I have really blue eyes, but if I don't have the right colors around my eyes and the shading,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't pop. You can't see it. It's lost.
Yeah.
So it's kind of basically, I think, just taking what you have and bringing it to life.
So it's not like war paint or anything? I mean, you don't think it's...
You think it's false advertising, what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying that... Well, sometimes it is. You
oh,
know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You know, you'll go to bed with a woman, then get up in the morning, you go, this is the same woman?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you know what? There's a couple ways to look at that. Either like, damn, she's a great artist, or damn, she's a fraud. I mean, there's two ways to look
great
at that.
Great artist, yeah.
I mean, you know, there's some women that you know, they never let their husband see them without makeup
on. That's true, huh?
And I just think that's
just pretty sad.
It is, because they're not really accepting all of you, that you feel like you can't be who you really are.
Yeah. You think it's the husband's fault, though?
Not necessarily, no.
No.
I don't know. I mean, it's case by case. But I also think, too, I mean, Marilyn Monroe has this great quote, and I'm going to butcher it, but it's something along the line. She's like, I'm selfish, I'm this, I'm that, I'm crazy. Da 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 da. She lists off all these negative qualities, but she goes, you know what? If you can't take me at my worst, you sure as hell don't deserve me at my best.
Oh, okay.
And I think, you know what?
I
didn't know she was so damn profound.
Yeah.
But I was like, I didn't. But I was like, that's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have a lot of great qualities, but you know what? You really want to just give those away to people that when things are hard, they're going to split.
Yeah.
Go to Splitsville.
Yeah.
Banana Splits Town. Banana Splits with Chocolate Sauce Town. Just throwing it out there. Yeah. So I think so. But I've dated guys where I just was like, I can't show them what I look. I mean, I don't even look bad without makeup. I mean, I just look average, you know.
Yeah.
I don't look horrible, but I've been around guys where I know they love the fantasy of who I am, mm-hmm. and then I'm just like, I can't show them
really
my real face. Not that I even look bad. I just don't hold. It does. It's just. It's like, eh.
Yeah.
Average girl. But the people I've been in love with, like this guy back in Texas, I mean, he's seen me all, you know, all nasty and stuff, and he mm-hmm. just loves me. So.
Oh,
and that's a
wow.
different. That's a different feeling.
What a love story.
So he saw me one day after I just threw up. Actually, I had a bad. I drank too much when I was in Houston one time. When I was just in Houston, I think something hit my stomach wrong. I mean, my stomach hurt, and I was like, you need to pull over. You really need to pull over right now. So he pulled over,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like, it's so hot out here, and it's humid and hot, and mm-hmm. my stomach hurt, and I was like,
yeah.
This is a bad combo right now. It's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I just totally had to throw up in front of him.
Oh, how disgusting, man.
It is. Well,
you see, that's a turnoff for me.
And it is a turnoff for me.
Like to see women in that position.
I don't want people to see me in that position.
Yeah. You see, once a long time ago when I had one of my girlfriends, I mean, we came back from a party and I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly she's just like puking out the window. And half of it stayed in the car.
That sucks.
And I was so disgusted, you know. I thought, what the fuck is that?
You know?
It's like, how disgusting, you know? So I don't like when women get drunk. It just, it doesn't
well,
suit
it's
them
sloppy.
Very well.
It's sloppy. And I mean, you know, shit happens and you sometimes miss shoot. I mean, that's how I see it. It's not like an everyday thing for me. But the reality is I think I ate something bad too. It was not a good combo. Anyway, he was just like, whatever. He was so cool with it. He's like, you okay? What do you need? And he was like, pet my back and stuff like that. I'm like, this is really not sexy. But
he must really love you.
He does. I mean, I definitely would not want anybody to ever see me thrown up on a sidewalk in Houston. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad. But he didn't freak out or anything.
So this was on this past trip?
Uh-huh.
That it happened?
We went karaoke. I had such a good time,
you
too.
You tend to drink a lot, don't you?
No, I don't think so. No? I just think I'm sensitive to alcohol.
So don't drink as much.
Okay, Sam. Thank you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just sometimes you just miss shoot. It's not like an everyday
miss shoot?
Thing. Meaning like you're just not, you're either mixing stuff that you're not used to or, and I think I have a sensitive stomach is what it is. So certain things, usually wine, I'm fine. But if I get into mixed drinks, it's like you never know.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So it's kind of like that. But I mean,
alcohol is alcohol. You know, I mean, I don't think there's any difference in how drunk
There is.
Because maybe I don't drink enough to know the difference.
There is. Like I think liquor has a different effect on people and wine has a different effect. And, you know. Definitely.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize
Yeah, so, I mean, it happens. But it's not normative. It's not like everyday thing.
It's not like you do it every day.
I mean, I didn't even drink last night or anything.
Mm-hmm.
When we went out to a bar.
That's cool. And where was the bar again?
It's really nice, you guys. It's called the Tar Pit Lounge on La Brea. Beautiful place. Mm. It is just a really beautiful kind of piano jazz bar. Really classy.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice.
Yeah.
609 North La Brea, the Tar Pit Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really nice. So if you're in L.A., check it out.
Yeah. Do you know why they call it the Tar Pits there? Like near the museum?
Because there's tar?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Got it, people? There was like dinosaurs back in the day and they put them.
Right.
How did it work out?
I don't know. They were just there.
Yeah, the Tar Pits, right?
Yeah.
I mean, such a gross
name.
And
then the dinosaurs were there too. I don't know how.
Well, there was like, you know, they found them and... I've never been to the Tar Pits.
Yeah.
I've just, even the name just makes me not excited about it, even though I'm sure there's something beautiful and historical and Discovery Channel type thing going on. Just no.
No, huh?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, well, what are you going to do, you know?
I don't know, Sam. I don't know. But, you know, what are you going to do? Just don't drink too much next time, Sam.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you got to be careful with that stuff, you know?
Everybody's got stuff.
I just don't find it sexy on a woman to get drunk.
Look, no offense, I don't find smoking sexy.
Yeah.
I don't find 30 years of smoking sexy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, everybody's got their thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't set out to, you know, go around throwing up on my shoe.
Mm-hmm.
But shit happens.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying.
Mm. Okay. So what is that? Are you like getting back at me or something about the smoking?
Oh, yeah.
I see.
Okay. No, not really. I'm just leveling the playing field.
I mean, I'm not criticizing you. I'm talking in general. I'm playing.
Because it's really, it's more of a spinoff of what people find. And it's a preferential thing in a way. It's kind of like saying, which is totally fair. It's saying, you know what, this particular thing grosses me out, which is normal. I mean, and it grosses most people out, let's be honest. Nobody wants to see somebody sloppily throwing up on themselves.
Right,
it's not sexy.
But it looks even worse on a woman, I think. It does.
I'm not disagreeing, actually. But there's a lot of things out there that people do daily or they do to themselves recreationally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, it's just to have kind of that playing field of no self-righteousness that everybody kind of, you know, has lost it or gone overboard at times. And
yeah.
It doesn't mean you're like some... you know, raging, you know, alcoholic, or you're some, you know, whatever that, you know, insert label here. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means, you know, you weren't responsible with it.
Mm.
And I just think that kind of, you look at it across the playing field with it, it's kind of, No, it's kind of all the same, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So, you all dressed up in running clothes, and you said you're going to run after the show, right?
I'm doing a really hard run.
Yeah. How far are you going to run, you think?
I'm not doing distance on this because it's hill work, so I'm going to be in a canyon, so it's really kind of like...
Oh, my God, man.
You can do... Yeah. But it's really... The results pay off.
I mean, when I keep doing it,
I'm like, whoa, I feel so tight. Everything feels good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm doing Fryman Canyon in the valley,
mm-hmm.
and I'm doing it twice. So if I really haul ass, I can do it in an hour. But I haven't been doing it, so it's probably going to be over an hour.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So you go up and downhill?
Mm-hmm. There's a really, the first half of the of the hike is mm-hmm. all uphill, and it's really, 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 really tough. Mm. I think when you if you just run it and don't stop, it's really hard. And then the second half's downhill, and I really don't run the downhills too much because it's harder on your knees and your joints.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. So I mean, there's a way to run where you can kind of distribute your weight into your butt area and not on your knees. Mm-hmm. But I'd prefer to just leisurely walk and just stretch it out a bit, and then I'm just going to turn around and go back up the way I came.
I see.
So I think I could probably do it under an hour, but we'll see. Maybe an hour.
Hmm.
But that's really good for hard cardio.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like heart pumping. You want to, you know, hard.
Yeah.
And it's hot out.
I would imagine. Yeah, yeah. You see, with the heat, I mean, you can't pay me enough to do that stuff.
You should try it.
No, I shouldn't.
Yeah, I would do it, Sam.
I should not try it. I said you can't pay me enough to do it, man.
I think a lot of people don't know what they're saying no to, though. I think a lot of people just think, oh, running sucks, because if you don't run, it does suck. Mm-hmm. But if you just, a lot of it's just showing up and being outside. It feels great, and getting mm-hmm. some sun in, and just getting the endorphins going, and then just doing a brisk walk, and then, okay, I'm going to go from point A to point B. I'm just going to go from here to the stoplight or from here to that tree, and I'm going to just jog, mm-hmm. and then stop and stretch and walk some more, and then go from here to that tree. Or from that, you know, car, I'm going to jog. And then you start really, because the way you feel after after you run
mm-hmm.
is you feel very clean inside.
Yeah.
Like your body's
Yeah, I know. Out. I remember when I used to work out and stuff. You see, but that's the thing, is that if I get back into working out, I would go to a gym, you know, and do the elliptical or something. And
I think elliptical sucks.
Well, I don't. So
I know. A lot of people love
yeah.
it.
So I would, you know, that's what I would do in an air-conditioned room and lift weights and so forth. And I'm actually planning on doing that.
Oh, yeah?
I just don't know when I'm going to start.
I have this goal. I just don't know. You know, it's just kind of open-ended.
Yeah.
No, I
just
get it.
I'm so lazy.
Well, a lot
know?
Of people, like the elements discourage them of, you know, the environment. But really, I mean, we live in Southern California. I signed up for a gym a few years ago at Gold's Gym.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why the hell am I doing this? Most of my workouts are outside. Why mm-hmm. am I doing the gym thing?
Yeah.
I don't like it. To me, it feels like a hamster wheel. A lot of people like that controlled environment where you go in, the AC's on, and, you know.
Yeah.
I find it kind of odd. Guys are there. They kind of want to hit on you. They don't. It's just a weird thing, and everybody, it's just, and then the workouts I don't really enjoy.
Yeah.
Like the ellipticals, like.
But biking is cool, I think, outdoors, you know.
Yeah.
Biking is cool.
Do you have a bike?
I used to, you know, but not anymore. I'm just too lazy. I don't know what it is, you know.
I bet if you started doing some workouts, you'd really feel energized.
I would. I mean, I know that. When I do it, my body feels great. You
uh-huh.
know, I mean, it really feels
I mean, you're
good.
Really, I mean, you're, you don't, I mean, you're a pretty in shape looking dude.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you were to just like get your body going, you would probably feel, mm-hmm. I mean, I have a friend of mine who's losing a lot of weight because she's really changed the way she eats. And I was like, hey, let me know when you start running. And she's like, oh, whatever. She goes, I'm already losing weight. Who cares?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, it's personal. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. But exercise fights depression.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you feel amazing,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you shape. I mean, you can have right. weight loss and not have really shape because
right.
you don't have the muscle definition, or, and then also the fact that, you know, we absorb a lot of free radicals and toxins in our environment. It's through actually working out that your body eliminates those things and
right.
sweats it out. Not to mention just the disease it fights off, heart disease, osteoporosis. I mean, there are so many unlimited reasons why exercise, regardless of if you're size zero or size whatever,
mm-hmm.
it makes you healthy.
Yeah.
And you feel so good afterwards.
Yeah, that's true. That I have to agree with.
Yeah. And I think it just feels awesome.
Yeah. I don't know how to get out of this laziness, man.
Well, I think it's kind of like a slump. I mean, I've been there where I haven't worked out in like a week or 2 weeks or something mm-hmm. like that. And I'm kind of like, oh, man, that first run is going to suck. Cause
mm-hmm.
And really the hardest part is getting myself out.
Right.
But then once I start doing it, you know, you just have to go, okay, this first run's going to suck. It's okay, but the second one's going to be great.
Yeah.
Or this one's going to be kind of like, eh. But then you just love it. Your body's like, when can I do it again?
That's true, yeah.
Like today's Wednesday, right? No, Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got a running group on Wednesday and Thursday that I might start doing again.
Mm-hmm.
The Nike runs.
Yeah. You should do biking, too.
I don't like biking.
No, you don't like biking?
If I do a triathlon, I definitely yeah. have to start biking,
mm-hmm.
and I will. I think it you have to get used to that. It hurts my butt, and that bike is really like narrow, and
right.
I don't like it. And you have to get used to it.
Yeah.
I did it. I did like a spin class one time, and I felt like somebody, you know, hammered my vagina. It just was so
really?
Sore and hurt. I was like, oh. Yeah. They're like, oh, you get used to it. No, I don't want to get used to a hammered vagina feeling.
Mm.
Not interested. Take that hammer and leave it away from my vagine. Not interested.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. I see one of our guests hasn't called yet, but we have one coming up, a credit counselor that wrote a book, and we're going to talk to him in a few minutes. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
And get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
So, you know, I guess the news reports are saying that Haiti is still suffering quite a bit after the earthquake. What has it been, like 6 months or something?
Yeah, I think I'm not an expert on the situation. I have a friend that's going to be there for 6 months, but he basically said that there's so much rubbish in the way, and that, you know, it's the
rubbish and rubble.
Yeah, that there's just so much, there's just so much in the way, and they don't have the capability of getting rid of it.
Yeah.
And it's just I don't know. It's one of those things you think in our mind, hey, why isn't this taken care of? But it's there's so many people.
Yeah,
there's
who
so
the
many,
hell is gonna take care of it? You know,
well, there's a lot of people over there that are pouring blood, sweat, and tears into it, and that are really, really working hard, and there's money involved. I mean,
there's a lot of poverty there. That's the problem, you know.
Yeah, I think that the need is far outweighs the availability.
It's amazing how these things always happen in the poor countries, you know, like the floods and the tsunamis and shit, you know, they can't deal with it.
Like it's already a very broken place and then it's...
Yeah, you know, yeah. And they can't deal with it, you know. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to be in Haiti right now. But you know, I mean, I don't want to hear people like Sean Penn telling us that we need to help Haiti, you know?
Why? What's your deal with Sean Penn?
He's constantly, you know, we've got to keep helping, we've got to keep helping, blah, 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 blah. So,
that pisses you off because he wants you to help?
No, because I don't care what he has to say.
You think he just, it's a little bit like a drunk celebrity?
I don't know how much money he's poured in, but I'm sure he... Well, he'd better have put in some if he's going to talk like this, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just don't like these activists. What can I tell you? It's not the same.
What turns you off with an activist?
Well, no, I mean with the celebrities and everything, you know?
Yeah.
That get paid so much money and shit, and they're like self-appointed representatives or something.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I think there's a turnoff when some of them get so incredibly politically active and they use their celebrity to give them some kind of credibility politically.
Yeah.
And I find that to be kind of odd. But then I ask myself, well, if I was in that position and I was really moved by something, I probably would do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But it really doesn't make you an expert in the field, or it doesn't really make you necessarily, you know, credible.
Right.
But at the same time, I understand. I mean... Wouldn't anybody, let's say you had the money and the power and you saw something that really bothered you, and mm-hmm. whether or not you had all the facts or whether or not that you were an expert, but you saw some kind of injustice or something.
Right.
Wouldn't you be thrown around your weight a bit?
Yeah, I probably would, you know, but I don't see that being a celebrity gives them any kinds of credibility. You know?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has...
He's just a friggin' actor, for crying out loud.
Well, you know? That's just like saying you're just a freaking plumber. You're just a freaking librarian. Like, we're all people.
Yeah, but it's like that self-importance. I don't know. It just bothers me.
I think it's the profession and then the celebrity which goes into people's lives. It's not so much about their skill. It's about their notorious or their crazy life or whatever.
Right.
And I think that turns people off because people think, well, you don't relate. You live this crazy life, da-da-da-da-da,
right.
Or you have everything at your disposal. And I think that sometimes people that are, they're so far removed, quote-unquote, from the need
right.
that you just feel like it's about them just looking for more press or something.
Yeah.
I've thought that.
That's what I think, yeah.
No, I've really, really, really thought that as far as, you know, looking at the same thing. I've been like, well,
Yeah.
So I get you on that thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of places to live, though, Yahoo has placed the top 100 places to live.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of an accumulation of, you know, money, and it has to do with the population based on the crime, and then healthcare, and then a lot of other things as far as raising a family, also unemployment. So these are the top 10 places. That are anything but average is what they said. So the first one's Eden Prairie, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
It says the population 64,000, unemployment's 5.1, and it's plenty of jobs, very low crime, lots for kids to do. The minus is that it's long and cold winters.
Yeah, in Minnesota, huh?
Yeah, I'm just like...
How can that be?
I'm like, that's like nobody wants to live there.
Yeah, long, cold winters, of course.
I mean, even the freaking criminals don't want to live there. That's why the crime rate's so low.
Yeah.
They don't want to live in Billy. Ah, screw it.
Freeze their balls off.
Yeah, like you guys just hang out there and it even has a picture of the place, like it's supposed to be so cute.
Right.
And it looks like trees that have no leaves on it. And it looks, even the picture looks cold and pissed off.
Yeah.
You think they'd touch it up and Photoshop it and throw a bird in there, a little sunshine ray. Nah, this is what you're getting. Oh, man. Okay, so what else do they have here? Number two, again, this isn't speaking to me. Columbia, Ellicott City, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, unemployment's only 5.2%. It has 155,000 people. The plus is it's booming economy, terrific schools, and diversity. The minus is bad traffic. That doesn't even count when you live in LA because
right.
traffic's a way of life here. Again, the picture's gray and it shows a railroad. They just don't get it, huh? They need better people to select their images because it's not selling them. Anyway, they're saying it's an economic powerhouse with, you know, a jobless rate just as inviable as Eden Prairie's. You know, it just doesn't look cute. Okay, third, this one looks prettier. Newton, Massachusetts.
How do they find these places, man?
Because I don't.
These are like small towns.
They're, you know, well, this has 82,000 and the unemployment 6%. Great schools, low crime, strong economy. Minuses is pricey homes and bad traffic. They don't know anything about bad traffic.
Sounds good.
Anyway, let's go. We've got Bellevue, Washington. Again, I don't know. Have you been to Washington? I've heard Washington's beautiful.
Washington State?
Yeah.
Yeah, to Seattle. To Seattle, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is beautiful up there for sure.
Then
we took a drive to Richmond to see. Is it Richmond?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure, but that's where Microsoft is, and we went to see their compound there.
They also have number five is McKinney, Texas, which is outside of Dallas, and then basically they're saying, you know, there's great affordable homes. Here's a hint, guys. All of Texas is extremely affordable to live, and you live very well. When I went back to Texas, all of my brothers and his friends, they're buying homes. They have two-car garages with a wraparound porch, two-story home, pool in the backyard. They're earning $50,000 to $75,000 a year, and they're living so well.
Right.
It is just unbelievable, the expendable income in Texas. So, you know, anywhere in Texas.
Yeah.
Again, you're in Texas, so you have to kind of, you know, it's not like some metropolitan, right, you know, booming area, although some of the cities like Austin, Texas was really pretty.
Yeah.
Six is Fort Collins, Colorado. I did have my cousin went there for college. It's beautiful. It's kind of got like an Austin, Texas feel, but surrounded with mountains, rivers, biking, and they've got a brewery there. They've got lots of breweries there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seven is Overland Park, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not interested. Eight, Fishers, Indiana. I see.
So it's mostly Midwest stuff.
Bullshit.
And
what's I? What's see? This is how ignorant I am as far as the Midwest.
Yeah.
What's the initials for IA?
That's Iowa. But hold on a second because I think our guest is calling.
Okay.
Good morning. This is Sam Karen. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey Sam, it's Wayne.
Hey Wayne, good morning to you.
Yo Wayne.
Yeah, I saw you started calling earlier.
Kara.
Yes.
Hello Wayne.
Anyway, I guess I shouldn't be saying anything.
I'm actually from McKinney, Texas, guys. I've been listening for the last couple of minutes.
Really? McKinney, Texas.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the top. There's number five on the list where they said top 10 places to live in America. Do you agree or no?
I definitely agree. It is really nice and really gorgeous, and I'm actually from the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So I would joke around and tell people on the East Coast, you can buy a crack house for $200,000, and out here, what you can buy for $200,000 is, like you said, two, three-car garages, 12-foot ceilings. It's gorgeous.
Really? So is that where you are now,
yep,
in Texas?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I see. That's
why are
cool.
You sounding so sexy?
Absolutely
on the phone?
Love it.
You're sounding super sexy right now. So what's the deal? I know we're going to get into money talk.
Well, I went to your website. I saw your picture.
You saw my picture?
I turn on the radio. I hear you wanting to go out in running clothes and then something about hammering your vagina. And I'm like, let me call into this place.
There you go. You better call before we move on to the next topic.
What's the deal? So where are you living? Where are you living now? You're back on the East Coast?
No, he said
no,
he's
in
Texas.
McKinney.
Oh, you're still in McKinney.
Wow. Well, that's cool. That's cool. Wayne, you're known as the credit guy, and tell us a little bit about this. How long have you been doing credit consulting?
Sure.
And go ahead.
I've actually been doing it for a little over 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I did a radio show out here in Dallas for a little while. I've been on TV numerous times. As we're talking, obviously, I just wrote a book that just came out. One of the main laws that governs the credit industry is the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and I am Fair Credit Reporting Act certified by a National Data Association, fully licensed and bonded. Like I tell all clients and people in general, hey, credibility is huge. Go Google my name, Wayne Sanford, and then the word credit, and I do articles for AOL Finance, Yahoo Finance, Fox Business. So the running joke is, I kind of know what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, you should be, you know.
mm-hmm.
So you wrote a book called The Real World on Credit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure, real simple. The book's actually been about a year and a half in the making. Primarily what I did was I tried to create a book that really just tells people exactly the title, what really happens in the world of credit. And I try to explain to everyone that we live in two worlds, the perfect world and then the real world. You know, and that happens
right
with every facet of life with us. And most of the times I've seen so many people take advice from other professionals that they think is an expert, and they're trying to purchase a home, and because of that advice totally destroy their chances of helping their credit or trying to purchase that home or that car, and it was just really done out of frustration and wanting to teach people.
Right. So now, I mean, there's so many questions to ask about credit and stuff. Why don't you explain now? Good credit is what kind of a score? When are the doors usually open to you?
Well, it's actually going to depend on what you're actually trying to buy. Like right now, like as an example, if you're trying to purchase a home and if it's an FHA loan, you just need a 620 credit score.
Oh, really?
However, if you're trying to purchase a home, let's say in New York or at least California, you're talking high price markets, which what you guys were talking about prior to me calling in, you really need anywhere from a 680 to really a 720 plus credit score.
I see. So, okay. But I know for some things you probably need at least 800. Is that correct?
800 is really the upper echelon. The maximum score you could ever have is an 850. I've never seen that. I've seen an 822, which is the highest. And if you're in anything over an 800, you are at the top of the food chain. Where right. even if something happens, whether you had something pop on your credit that's not yours or you had a little hiccup, you'll drop maybe 80 points and you'll still be in the top tier.
Right.
Let me ask you a side note. Would you ever marry a woman that had shitty credit? And I'm not talking about myself.
Well, I'm a credit expert. I could fix that.
Yeah.
Look at that. So you're already
running.
Huh?
That was a professional question.
No, I'm not even, I really don't even mean myself because I'm not going there with my credit. But what I am saying is people that are like, this is their thing, you know, you meet people that are like, I'm a numbers guy. And then, you know, like, is this something that, like, what happens when you go on a first date? Are you like, okay, what's your 3-digit score? How does that work?
Well, I'm really good at asking that question without anyone realizing I'm actually asking that question.
You start asking about assets or what?
Actually. Go ahead. Say again?
You start asking about their assets or how do you sneak it in? Okay, we're on a first date. Hey, so I like running and fishing and shit. So what's up?
Go ahead.
About that fishing, that must be that Texas thing you're talking, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, Texas, we love fishing and shit. What's up?
Yeah. So go ahead.
And barbecuing. So, yeah, one of the things, well, a part of the chapter in the book that I actually talk about is actually, you know, looking before you get married, while you're married, and unfortunately these days, what you need to do after getting divorced.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, when you do decide to marry that person or get involved, you are getting involved in their assets and their liabilities.
Right. Now,
so I've had...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I've had so many clients sometimes when they're in the process of getting divorced or trying to buy a house together that the wife comes to talk to me and we go through their credit report. She finds out he has $10,000, $20,000 in back child support. He has judgments against him. It really opens people's eyes.
Right. And usually when you get married, doesn't your credit score sort of like mesh with each other?
The only time and that's really a big misconception, so I'm kind of glad you asked that. A lot of times, the only time a file is going to merge like that is if you start getting stuff together, such as an example, you buy a car together, you buy a house.
I see.
But primarily, when you get married, they don't merge the two Social Security numbers or the two credit files. They're completely separate unless you purchase something together.
I see. Okay. Now,
got
that
it.
Makes sense. Yeah. Now, you know, with the economy and everything, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure their scores have gone down. What are some of the things you can do, you know, short of starting buying things for cash, you know, in order to purchase some things? I mean, I know it's gotten really hard to get a loan, even for a car.
It's definitely getting a little crazy out there, and of course, the lower your credit score is, there are still lenders that'll loan to you. However, you're going to get an appropriate interest rate. You see those advertisements on TV and the radio where they say, oh, bad credit, no problem. That's because they're going to charge you a 20% interest rate.
Right.
I like how you said appropriate.
Yeah.
I like how you said appropriate. Like, you deserve this, you low life. You're going to get appropriate.
Well, no, hey.
I'm playing.
Become a credit expert with having an issue or two in your past.
Yeah. Hey, that's really cool. I like that. That makes you human. So who did you owe?
Capital One.
Oh, look at that. I like his honesty.
And the funny joke is it was my ex's ring, and I joked around, as I'm sure any male or even female, just on pure principle, you're not getting your money.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, wow. Really?
Now, let me ask you something.
Yep.
If you don't pay for something, let's say you have credit card debt and something, and they keep calling you and calling you, and you keep ignoring them, is that going to go away one day? Or they're going to keep calling
forever?
It does
to a degree. What I tell people is a credit score is a 3-digit number that tells somebody how you pay your bills.
Right.
So it's going to measure payment history. The older a negative account gets on your credit, the less and less it affects it.
I see.
After 7 years, technically, in the perfect world, they're not allowed to report on your credit. Obviously, that's the perfect world. Real world is a little bit different. But actually, on my website, WayneTheCreditGuy.com, if anyone out there is getting harassed by a debt collector, you can send what's called a cease and desist letter, and it's free of charge on the website. Just go up to the top and click on it. You can print out that creditor's information, send them a certified letter, and by law, they're allowed to contact you one more time. And then after that, they have to communicate with you via mail, so none of that harassing phone calls.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I like it.
So, yeah,
like
everybody go to the site. It's what is it again?
WayneTheCreditGuy.com.
Sounds good.
So what's going on now in your love life, Wayne?
This is a credit guy. Why are you getting into that now?
Because it's funny. I think it's interesting. I want to hear where he's that. I'm just curious how this mind works.
But
go
you just
it.
Ambushed him. Go ahead.
He can handle it. No.
Listen, I've seen her pictures that she can totally ambush me anytime.
I know. He's feeling it. He likes it. Nobody just wants to hear about money.
Well, no, I joke around and I'll always tell everyone I'm a single workaholic, so I'm semi-obsessed with credit. So obviously that works well for my clients, not so well with me. But primarily just when you're just a workaholic, you just, you know, like these days with everyone, you just work. You guys have Twitter, you have Facebook, you're constantly updating people. It's rough, you know, and then all the good ones are in Texas, moving to California. I'm waiting for the ladies in California to come to Texas because the house prices. So,
well, you need to scoop up some Texas lady. There's a lot of those that just want an MRS degree, you know. That's what they do. They are professional marriers out there. They are looking.
Dallas, they say, is the home of the $30,000 millionaire. You know, look good driving something, look good living in something, and be 1 month behind every payment.
Sounds good.
Well,
man.
Not Wayne the credit guy.
Yeah.
Not Wayne the credit guy.
Well, Wayne, we got to go.
No,
but the book again is The Real World on Credit by Wayne Sanford, and the website is WayneTheCreditGuy.com. Wayne, thank you so much. It's been enlightening, and I'm definitely going to get the book and go to the website, of course, and get those letters, man. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
And it's free of charge.
I'm going to have to download a couple of cease and desist letters. Thanks, Wayne.
Okay, guys,
thanks for being
so
a good sport.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
He's funny.
Yeah. That's cool. I like when you ambush people with these questions.
Well, you know, I think, too, it's a clinical field. He actually has a really great personality.
But what you got to realize also is that some of our guests, you know, would like to keep the interview, and then you throw in a shit or two
no,
in
No, that's
there,
okay. They love it.
They can't use it.
No, they're okay. You know what the thing
is okay?
they can edit it, and they can cut me out. But second of all, it's a clinical field that you need to have some humor, and it makes him more likable. And
no,
the reality,
humor's fine, you know.
He's a likable dude, and he's cool. He got the nuts and bolts out. He's fine.
Okay, good.
WayneTheCreditGuy.com. Figure it out.
There you go.
I think he's cool.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just know there's a lot of credit problems out there, and
you seem like a 850 type credit dude.
Who, me? Are you kidding?
You seem like you really
not
are.
Not even close, man.
Is it because you
that
probably...
That might be my SAT score.
That's funny. Yeah.
But no, that's not my credit score by far.
Yeah.
No, the economy has hit a lot of people, you know?
Yeah,
it really
I understand.
Has, you know? It's hard to get a loan these days.
Yeah.
You know, you get a lot of foreclosures and that, so, you know, people defaulting on their loans, their mortgage. It's a pretty sad situation.
Well, the cool thing is that anything can be rebuilt. It may take a long time.
Yeah,
it can.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing is that, you know, you don't have to stay there forever.
Yeah. Yeah, and my suggestion to you is if the creditors bother you, just don't pick up the phone. Tell them to go to hell. What can I say?
Yeah.
You know? All right. Kara, it's the end of the show.
So quick.
Yes. So quick and good. Quickie. That's the way to do it, you know, short and to the point, you know.
Short and sweet, baby.
Yeah, don't waste my time.
Okay. Well.
Anyway, all of you, thank you all for joining us. And Kara, try not to faint today from the heat.
I'm going to have a good time. It's gonna be worth it. It's going to be good.
Okay, cool. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio Studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.